You're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast, made possible by the generosity of Tom Evans and the art and science of Lightbulb Moments.
Good evening, Sheila, and welcome to the Moments of Light show. Sorry it took a bit of a while to segue you in there.
Well, it's lovely to be chatting to you.
To give everyone that's listening a bit of background, we kind of met about 2 years ago physically, didn't we, when I came down to do a talk.
That's right.
For your wonderful group in Essex. But you're one of these
that's
people,
right.
I've got to say, that I just feel, and we've not really met since then, and we've not spoken to this, but I feel that we've known each other for years.
Yes, we said that when we first met, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think there's a very big connection. I think it's more than just like-mindedness. Maybe in a past life, who knows?
It could well be.
We're obviously destined to meet this in this life, though.
Yeah, so just to give everyone a bit of background to you then, on your website it says here, 15 years ago, Sheila was a happy and average housewife. So what's happened?
Well, I was really living just what I call a normal life. Mm-hmm. And I'd never, ever thought about spirituality, religion, anything like that, because I was just happy plodding along. As I think everybody does.
Mm.
And then I seriously went to rock bottom because lots of things happened. And my father-in-law had a stroke, my mother-in-law died, my dad died. Then my husband very kindly walked out in the middle of it all. And just after that, my mum died. And I went to serious rock bottom and I felt so alone. But then one October evening, and I still remember this day, I was in a dreadful state and a friend came over to sit with me and I suddenly began to tingle all over from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most beautiful experience I've ever been through because I suddenly realised two things. One, you can't actually make yourself tingle. It's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that happens. And Leslie, who was with me at the time, she's a very spiritual lady, said, don't worry, your guides and angels are with you and they're touching you to make you aware that you aren't alone. Because that was the hardest bit, feeling so alone, as I just said. And suddenly I realized that it's difficult to describe. But I wasn't alone anymore. And I didn't really understand quite what was happening at the time. And so I went and sourced different books because other things started happening. Like I suddenly started to hear classical music in my right ear. Now, never in my left. And it was beautiful. And when I shut my eyes and did meditations, I could see all the colours flowing in front of me. And then I started seeing pictures, which were like little mini postage size notes and a mini films. And where was this all coming from? I hadn't got a clue, because I was so, this just wasn't my world. But the first book I ever bought was Opening to Channel by Duane Packer. I don't know if you know that book, but
I've got a copy of it, yeah.
Anyway. And that was a huge turning point for me, because one of the things it said was if you want to open to channel, take it seriously because magic will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And my life just turned around from then on.
Well, that was a pretty magical experience you had then, wasn't it? So where did it go from there? Where did the magic lead you?
Well, it landed up meeting lots of people I could talk to. And they didn't think I'd lost the plot, because a lot of people who aren't in this spiritual world or want to learn more, they do seriously think, you know, you're in Gaga land sometimes.
Mm.
I'm sure you've come across people like that.
Well, a little bit, but We just had this conversation with Pauline before about blokes and stuff like that, and I say one of the tasks I've set myself is to try and organize this spiritual talk so it is more grounded in real world. And I feel that's a bit of a challenge for us already, when we've got, because there's some great gifts to be had, isn't there? And yeah. I think this is a gift that you and I both share, because I don't call it rah-rah hype, I call it talking about spiritualities without the woo-woo la-la side of it.
Yes, I do too, but I think like the rah-rah hype is very American.
Yes, I know what you mean.
When this first happened to me, obviously I looked up people like Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and Louise Hay, who I've actually since met twice, beautiful mm-hmm. lady. I couldn't relate to all of that, you know, Anthony Robbins and those sort of people, because to me it was a load of hype.
Mm-hmm.
And spirituality you find within yourself. And everybody is on their own path. And a lot of these people were saying, you have to do this, and if you do that, so-and-so will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always believed that you have to find what resonates with you within. Because everybody's on a different life journey, as we all know. And what suits one doesn't necessarily suit another.
Well, so I think this is... Yeah. No, we're definitely peas out of the same pod in that regard. So what led you then to, from this low point then, Sheila, to, I'll try to get to where you are now, which is some marvellous work that you're doing. So where did Before I Get Old and Wrinkly come from, and where did you, how do you step into this authorship mould?
Well, if you'd have asked me this 6 years ago, I'd have never have dreamt in a million years that I would be the author of two books and mm-hmm. a new home study course. But what happened when both my parents died, I realised, and it's an awful thing to say, actually, in some ways, that I didn't really know them as people. You just accept your parents and you just accept your friends for who they are, but there's so much more to them than you realise. And I was going through a lot of turmoil at home, and I suddenly decided that I didn't want my children not to know who I was, because I'd had a huge amount of experiences before they came along, which they knew nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote, 9 years before I actually wrote my letter to my children, Before I Get Old and Wrinkly. In fact, I still have that piece of paper in my office.
Wow.
And then... because the time wasn't right then to write that letter. And then I was having a terrible time with my daughter and my granddaughter, because she stopped me seeing my granddaughter, who I'd virtually brought up for 3 years. And I thought, and I left my job, I just had to walk away from it, and I just followed my intuition. It just felt so right. It's difficult to describe, but it was very, very powerful to give it all up and just write this letter. Well, I had no idea then, 74,000 words later, that it was going to turn into a book, because so many people resonated with it. And a very good friend of mine, Julie, runs the Mind, Body and Soul exhibitions locally to me, and she offered to give me a stand free of charge on one condition, if I gave a talk. Well, I trusted the universe again and visualized myself writing and signing copies of the book. I dressed, because the cover has a pink, black and white, I dressed the stand all in pink, black and white. And then I visualized myself in a big room talking to some people and laughing and joking. But I didn't say to the universe, I want, say, like 50 people in the room. I just left it open. Tom, it went beyond my wildest dreams. It was standing room only. They had to turn people away. In fact, and the feedback was phenomenal. In fact, I was so overjoyed with it all, I ran out and burst into tears afterwards, because I think the nerves kicked in. But from there, people asked me to give talks, and it just changed my whole life. And I started to run workshops for people, and I realized that I knew and had experienced a lot more than I really realized, because I just took everything that was happening to me for granted. And I'm sure you know this, all what we know to share in a weekend workshop or a day's workshop or even a talk, there's just so much more. So I ended up writing the second book, Master Your Own Destiny, so that people who couldn't come to my workshops can work through their own life. And I give myself as an example, because some phenomenal stuff has happened to me in these last 15, 17 years. And now I've just turned this into a home study course so that people can do it at their leisure at home. And it's a 9-month course, because you can't change your life instantly. And it's like giving birth to a new lung.
Well, 9 months sounds like that perfect amount, doesn't it? So how does it differ then? Because there's lots of systems out there. You know, we've heard of The Secret, and we've heard of everyone's got... Every manly boy and woman seems to have some system of generating stuff in their life, the cosmic ordering. So how does Master Your Own Destiny differ? Where's the extra, the Sheila USP?
Well, there's no how to do it, because everybody's on their own journey, as I said earlier. And throughout the book, there's different areas I cover, and there's recommended reading to take that particular area to a different level, if something resonates with you, for example. There's many, many guidelines throughout the book, but I'm not telling anybody how to do it, because you have to find your own way. There's probably 50 books that I recommend, or different courses people can go on. But what I've done is sort of chronologically explained how I've done it, and then make suggestions for people to work through. Say, for example, The Secret. I mean, that's phenomenal in its way, because it has opened up the door to many people thinking, you know, perhaps cosmic ordering does work. But of course, cosmic ordering goes back millions of years. Like everybody praying for rain and that sort of thing. But I think the missing link to The Secret is they don't explain that you have to feel what you want, and you have to really be passionate about what you want. Because for all the cosmic ordering people want to do and sending up these wonderful thoughts to the universe, I want to be a millionaire, if your life here isn't on earth meant to be that, there's no way it'll ever happen.
So is that, a lot of the systems are head-based as opposed to heart-based?
Yes. And it's now proven that your heart is actually the guidance of you. I think it's Heart Maths in America have done some huge studies that now show that what you feel and your heart feels is far more powerful than your thoughts. Okay, your thoughts are connected, but this is where I love helping people follow their intuition, because that's their inner guidance. And if it feels right, then it is right.
And is that something people get from doing the course?
Very much so. But what I also encourage people to do, and it comes with the course as well, is a guided meditation. Because I think that's a beautiful way for people to start opening up and getting their ideas and taking some time and just chilling a little bit. I mean, meditation, as you know, doesn't have to be hours on end, at the top of a hill, dressed in all this flowing stuff. Just 10 minutes every day, just sitting back and reflecting. And sometimes, if I'm struggling with something, I'll just sit back in my, say it's something to do with work, or I want to write something and I'm struggling. I'll just sit back quietly, 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 minutes, and all of a sudden the ideas pop into your head and you think, oh yes, I like that, where did that come from? Well, as you and I know, Tom, because that's what you specialise in as well, where do they come from?
And so as this is the Moments of Light show, let's just explore that show. Where do you think they come from and how do you think they pop in?
Well, I believe, from my experience, that a lot of it comes from your higher self. Some comes from your guides, because we've all got a guide with us. And sometimes from angels, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with practice, you can learn to tell the difference.
And you mentioned
the hardest
before about,
thing, I think.
Yeah, sorry, you mentioned before about the tingling around the back. Is there a different area or a different strength of tingling or a different thought type whereby you can tell the difference?
Well, I think tingling, perhaps a little bit a chill on your face sometimes people
yeah.
feel, or they might feel a little bit cold, or just sometimes they smell things. I think that's more from angels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think guides, because we all have guides, and sometimes different guides come in at a different time if you need help with things, is more through your thoughts, different ideas, because we speak to our guides telepathically, and we can speak to each other telepathically. So really, when you have your chatter in your head, sometimes people send mixed messages up to the universe, but when it becomes clear through a meditation, they are much more aware of what you want, you know, information on, because they don't judge you and they won't tell you what to do either. They'll guide you.
So with this meditation then, because obviously you can meditate, I've got reasonably okay and feel comfortable meditation. For people that have trouble meditating, what is your best advice you can give to somebody to make that internal mind chatter go quiet?
Well, I think when you very first start meditating, it's very hard, as you know, most people know, to let those thoughts drift. And I believe that if you write those thoughts that instantly come into your head, or the things you're worried about, I've got to do this and I've got to do that, just write them down first. Or some people like to put that thought into a bubble and let it go off to the universe. And somebody I've been, who's coming to my meditation groups, they actually, which I love, I've never heard this idea before, but they put their thoughts onto a train, and each thought goes into a different carriage.
Wow.
And then most of their thoughts have gone, they let the train go off to its destination, and they say to themselves, okay, I'll come and pick you up later.
That is so clever.
I love that idea, that really tickled me.
That is really clever.
Yeah. And then I think if people can concentrate on their breathing, because breathing is a huge part of meditation,
mm-hmm.
and watch their chests go up and down and play around with it, make it go faster. And I mean, I know when you get into deep meditations, you should do it from your stomach, but I think that's too complicated for people unless they're okay with it. And to visualize each part of your body, you know, your cells within your body relaxing. And that, I find, helps, relaxes you too. So there's different techniques, I think, but there's lots of wonderful guided meditations which people can start because they're concentrating on somebody else's thoughts and they're not their own.
Mm-hmm.
So what sort of advice do you give for meditation, Tom?
Well, similar to that, really. I think you've just encapsulated... in that train metaphor is amazing because that takes you into one of the deepest levels of meditation, and that's called vipassana, where you meditate on your thoughts themselves. So you can meditate on things like the breath, and that
yes.
helps. Or you can meditate on a candle or a sound. But when you meditate on thoughts themselves, then you get into a very deep level of meditation. And what you've done with that metaphor is to get people to package their thoughts off, send them off somewhere, slightly metaphorically send them off, but it does work the same way. And in that space then, external thoughts can pop in, be it from your guides, your angels, or whatever. So I think it's a fantastic thing to do. Have you recorded that?
Yeah.
And is that available as a guided meditation in the pack?
It's about to be.
It sounds like it should be.
But I haven't put the train of thought in there yet.
The
that's
train
the
of thought.
The train
so
of thought, exactly.
There you go. So, I love it. Always, everything's invented here on the Barefoot Broadcast. So, just explain to me what's in the pack and what do people get from it?
Well, I'd like to offer any of your listeners tonight half price for the home study course.
Oh, wow.
And because I'm really passionate about this, because everybody can achieve so much more in their life, and I believe the home study course can give you the confidence to do that.
Yes.
Because I think confidence has a huge bearing on taking that next step and believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I coach people all the time who know self-worth, and a lot of it stems back from your childhood often, or a different experience that might have happened, and we are all magnificent beings. And I think for people to be deflated and not living the life that they really truly want to do, then I think that's sad. And it's just a few self-belief, confidence, a passion can be a huge turning point for people. I hope people, can... Sorry, go on.
Well, I say, and the people you worked with, can you just explain what transitions they've made as a result of working with you?
Well, I've had a very young girl, actually, she's only 23, who came to me in a dreadful state. She could not let go of her dad leaving and not being good enough at school and that sort of thing. And she was extremely intelligent. So much so that she had how can I describe it? A very inquisitive mind. And she was in a job that bored her to tears. Anyway, we worked through, over a period of probably 4 months actually, of what she'd really like to do. And I got her to visualise her ideal job. And she even visualised, because apparently she was very fussy about her desk, visualised where her desk was to be positioned. And it had to be near a window, etc., etc. Anyway, within 3 or 4 months, she got the most fantastic job, where she works actually now for the fraud squad.
Wow, she's got that attention to detail, hasn't she?
Yes, and the inquisitive mind and that sort of thing. And she's now been promoted and now goes out on all these raids up and down the country. And she's loving it. Absolutely loving it. And that really was two things. A belief in herself, really delving into what she really wanted to do and having the confidence to do it.
Wow.
But one thing I also got her to do was to go back to her school and forgive the people that bullied her. Because really, they're no different to her in many ways, but it was just something that happens at school, which is awful. But it happens in later in life as well, as we know. But, I mean, we are all magnificent human beings, and we all come onto this earth for a specific purpose, whether it's to teach others, to learn, to grow, to share, to love. And I'm very passionate about people waking up and realizing that it's in their capabilities. I often call this actually this journey that a lot of people starting to go on is a silent awakening, because it's very difficult to describe, you know, when you get that confidence and you feel special and know that you are connected to this huge universe that can help you, because it's something you feel within, I think. That's the only way I can describe it.
One of the things you
but
can
you
do
necessarily
is...
have to be a...
Yeah. Sorry, our Skype delay is causing a bit of eruption here. I thought that you got there. But one of the things you do is that you're absolutely marvellous at letting other people shine their lights as well with all the events that you put on. And you've been doing this, what, for at least 2 or 3 years now?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, you were one of my first speakers, actually. I think you were second,
actually.
So was I? Doing, in some ways, your debut. talk, and look where you are now.
Exactly.
Love,
well, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. Actually, I've got to share with everybody is that we've signed up to do another date, haven't we, soon? And I couldn't believe it because when you said, no problem, Tom, come along. It's June 2012 is my next vacant slot. And I thought, how wonderful. That can only mean that you've got, one, you've got a fantastic lineup of speakers between now and then, and two, that these events are filled up really well. And I have been done networking events. It takes a lot of energy, persistence, patience, perseverance. And you must have that in spades.
Well, there's so many lovely people like yourself and... other speakers who can share their knowledge with people, and it's now become a lovely little community. Well, there's 250 people actually on the mailing list now, which is fantastic. And everybody dips in and out of a particular subject they want to hear, and if they can make it, they do. And we get a good crowd now, which is lovely. And lots of people, and perhaps you might like to consider next time when you come doing a workshop follow-on.
Oh, I'd love to do that. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
So who's lined up between now and then? Who's coming up to speak?
Tomorrow night, we've got somebody talking on Reiki and reflexology.
Mm-hmm.
September, we've got Heidi Sayer. Do you know Heidi, the...
I've never met Heidi. I'd love to meet her. She's someone we're running kind of parallel paths, and I think we know of each other, but we've never met.
All right. Well, she actually was going to come in October, but she very unexpectedly fell pregnant. So she's coming in September, and Mark Rhodes, who's one of James Kahn's millionaire mentors, is coming in October. They've swapped round, and they're friends.
Wonderful.
So that's quite nice.
Right.
Then we have somebody coming to talk about the nine faces, the enigma. Then we have Chrissy Estelle in December on angels. She's coming back by popular demand. And then next year, as I say, we've got a whole variety of aura photography. What else? I can't think off the top of my head. Oh, Kevin, that'll be his debut speaking. He's Universal Bank Account. He's just writing a book on that.
Wow.
Because he believes everything you put out into the world, you know, which you give freely, comes back to you.
Oh, absolutely.
So he's called it a Universal Bank Account, which I think is lovely.
I'd like to join that bank straight away. So...
Yes.
And so for people that can't make, because you're based in Essex, for people that can't make it,
yes,
do you record any of these? And are they available in an archive anywhere?
That is in the process of doing, but I'm not very technically minded. So I'm trying to get somebody who can actually record all of them and then put them on the website so that people can listen to them afterwards, you know, the ones that can't make it. But that's
That'd
something in the future. But as I say, that's not my forte. I'm able to organise these things, but not the technical side.
Well, all we've got to do is manifest someone that can do all of that for you, which sounds good. So what's in your near future then? Is there a third book on the go?
Well, I hate to say this, Tom, but there's two more books, yes.
Oh, can't I'll tell you about these then. There's nothing. There's no hate there at all. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, but it's finding the time to do all of this. One of them, well, here, we can open this up to your listeners. One of them, I want to do The Beauty of Synchronicity, True Life Stories.
Mm.
Because
wow.
I'm fascinated with synchronicity. And I've had a huge amount of synchronicity in my life. And every time I'm amazed, and I keep hearing these stories of people who just really and truly have magic happen. So I want to invite your listeners to send me their stories and I'll publish them. Whether they want to put their name to it or be anonymous, it doesn't matter. But and I'm not talking about the really little synchronicities, I'm talking about the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people relate to true life stories as well. And
it sounds to me it's a self-fulfilling book, isn't it? Because if you're writing a book about synchronicity, then basically synchronicity is going to bring the book together.
Yes. Yeah, I've got a few people who've emailed me their stories already.
Oh,
I need a few more. So,
you can definitely have one or two from me, that's for sure.
Okay, brilliant. I'll take you up on that. And then my next book is sharing your life story, similar to my very first book, but that's mm-hmm. in the distant future, and that's something I'm beginning to work on. So, and that I want to open up to the universe. But I know, as you know, Tom, magic will happen and different people will come in to help me on all of this. But I'm so excited and passionate about it. I love it. And one of the things I love sharing with people is I'm a grandmother. I was 55 when I wrote my first book.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can do that, and change my whole life
mm-hmm.
was to stop other people.
Now, can I share something with
well.
You? Can I share something
yeah.
with you? I've just
yeah.
picked up two clients in the last week, right? One of them is 73, and
mm-hmm.
the other is 87. And for the 87-year-old,
wow.
we're gonna publish three books in 1 year.
That's amazing.
And the 87-year-old... 87-year-old, he's just got his... I've just set his blog up over the weekend, just set him up with a Twitter account, and he's just off out tomorrow to buy his iPad.
I love it.
Isn't that great? So, actually, Don't have my story. I'm going to give you his story for your book, because it's such a magical story. And the guy's already had about four careers. He's already had four careers. He's a film director from the 60s and 70s. He used to write scripts for the Avengers and the Professionals. He's worked with Joan Collins and Laurence Olivier. And,
brilliant.
And exactly, he's got so many stories. He's such a lovely guy. And basically, at 87 years young, he's decided to be a novelist and to get himself a Twitter account and a blog, which is just great. So I think that is your story. I shall make sure that goes in your book.
Yes, I love it.
in fact, he would be a fantastic speaker for you as well, so I'll make sure I'll connect you.
Okay, put us in touch, yeah, that would be brilliant.
and
I wish everybody... Yeah, go on.
As I said, there's a question from Lumpy Custard in the chat room here. Has he got a high-tech Zimmer? This guy is 87 going on about 60. You really wouldn't know if you saw him. He was 87 years old. And it's all about the mind, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. But I think also it's finding a passion.
Yes.
Because once you get that passion, that's when, you know, things take over in some ways. And I think there's a lot of people who don't have a passion. But one of the suggestions in my book and the home study course is, say, for example, you're in a dead-end job which you hate,
mm-hmm.
and you can't wait to get home to play your guitar. why not take that guitar and the passion for music somewhere? If that makes make you feel alive.
And make it a job.
Yes. Or start to teach music, or write songs, or play in a band.
And
because
the
we
family
don't have to put up. Sorry, go on, Tom.
I was saying, in the silly ways now that once you've got a talent, even if it's a moderate talent, of just sharing that with the rest of the planet, isn't there? There's no excuse, you know. You write a book today, and you shove it up on Kindle, Amazon Kindle tomorrow, or you write some music and put it up on Audioboo or MySpace or whatever you want it to be, or I guess it's all Google Plus nowadays, but there's nothing to stop you broadcasting, narrowcasting nowadays. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's not a literary classic, or it's not the same production value as some of their most amazing music. There's going to be someone out there that appreciates it, and you've only got to change one life to make it worthwhile, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. But what I also advise people, and I've done this myself, because I'm not that techie, as you know, Tom, because I've pinched your brains a few times, is to get a teenager geek, IT geek, who wants to earn a little bit of money, and they're so okay with all this stuff, they do it instantly. And that takes the pressure off you. Because I think sometimes older people do feel a little bit in awe of, you know, how do you do it? But these youngsters, they know instantly, and they've been brought up with it.
Absolutely.
So,
And they've also got, I think there's a role for people that are got slightly more experience to actually to work with the youngster, to partner up with somebody that's got the technical skills. And I'm a great believer in 1 and 1 = 3, you know. And
yes.
There's another project I'm working on where we're taking some students out of Ravensbourne College, you know, the film college, and mixing, getting them to record messages from captains of industry. Who have retired, and getting the two lots of people together to create a collaborative workspace. And as you well know, all you've got to do is to put the message out there to the universe you want something like that, and they'll just appear.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And that's a beautiful connection, because we can all teach and help each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, go on.
I was about to say, so the next thing is you're going to get these two books out. Which are you going to do first?
Probably the story one. But a bit like you, I'm going to ask one of my friend's daughters who's going to a media college. I'm not quite sure which one it is. If I can be her project.
Oh, wow.
She'll need a project. She'll need a project at university. So I want to be her project, and she can help me.
Oh, fabulous.
She's filming, and she'll have to do...
Hello? Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, Tom. I'm sorry. It looks like I think her call has dropped. So that is such a great shame, because she was just in fine flow. What a fantastic, fantastic amount of story she's got.
She's just amazing, isn't she? And she's so giving as well. You know, she's... I wish you get a chance to dial back in, but she works so hard putting this these events on. And as you know, putting a networking event on just, you know, every month is just amazing. But to have a backlog of a year saying, well, yeah, you can come and speak, Tom, but you have to wait till next year because I'm that busy. Well, not only that, I'm honoured that I'm considered to be there for next year, and I'm just thrilled that there's a whole lot of people in the meantime coming along. I know she's got some really good guests there, and
Two ticks. Yep. Sheila, you're back.
I'm back. I don't know what
well
happened.
Well done,
there.
My love. That was brilliant, because it was just so exciting. I was thinking, oh no, not in the last 10 minutes. Please stay. Okay, I'm listening with bated breath for the rest of it. You're just doing fantastically. I'm loving it.
Well, I think we need to do something about getting this book on serendipity together, don't we? Because there's a reason that Sheila's on tonight. And we've got a few listeners in the chat room. We know loads of other people listen back on the archive. So, Sheila, where can people send these stories to? What's the best way of getting in touch with you?
Probably email me at Sheila, that's S-H-E-I-L-A, at SheilaSpezzo.com.
Right, I'll grab that off of my email and put it into the old chat room, which would be absolutely good. And, now having spoken to you about this 87-year-old, I think that would be the person. I think that story would be fantastic because it kind of just shows you at that age, which we... Now, something about our Solomon, isn't it? We're saying, well, you know, you get past 65 or 68, or whatever they call the retirement age, and they call it a retirement age. I mean, the language around everything is just the wrong language, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
What are definitely. You retiring from exactly?
And as we know, if you have that mindset, you know, oh, I've got to retire, then life becomes boring. But if you turn it around and use all your knowledge and your experiences to do something new and exciting, it opens up your life in new ways.
Mm-hmm.
What if we look at the word tire as the link of the word the tire on your car would mean that you were doing a retread, wouldn't you?
That's a nice way of thinking.
Yes, I like that. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have nine.
Yeah, the way I see it is I've retired already, but I've retired from doing it the other way. I've retired from that old corporate treadmill and kind of being a cog in the machine. And I feel like I'm a cog, but in a slightly different, beautiful machine at the moment. But that whole idea of working for a living and trying to build up a pension, then that you've got that pension that you then live off for the rest of your lives after you stop working for a living. I kind of jumped out of that about 3 or 4 years ago, and I see these wonderful books that we're writing, Sheila, and I know that Jackie has just put a fantastic course together as well. These things are our pension nowadays. You know, these are intellectual assets that we share with other people. And very kind of you, by the way, to share your course with the listeners and giving them that discount. How would they get that discount, by the way, Sheila?
Well, it's on my Master Your Own Destiny. .com website.
Okay.
If anybody wants to sign up there, they can have a 30-day challenge e-course first, if they want to test it out. And then there's all details on there on how to sign up. There's three different options. One, you can have it just on your computer in a JPEG. Two, you can have it sent to you with the meditation CD, or and then three, there's the option to have both of those and one-to-one coaching with me as well.
Oh wow, that sounds phenomenal.
All half price.
Great stuff. I love it.
Fantastic. That's just an absolute gift, isn't it? So tell me, can I ask a question, Sheila? What is your most, I know you've had many, many synchronicities. What's your most memorable or the one that really, you still laugh and go, blimey, how on earth that happened? Thank you.
Oh, gosh, where do I start?
that was cool, was it?
No. When I first split up with my husband, after a period of time, I met a guy, and our eyes met across a crowded room, as one does, and I started going out with him, but he was 10 years younger than me and wanted children, which, being a grandmother at the time, I was not prepared to do. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we had an on-off relationship, and every time it was off, I would bump into him in a traffic queue on the M25, for example. His car was going one way, mine was going another, and just I turn and look, and there he was. I thought, how on earth has that happened?
That is spooky.
So we'd wind down the window, chat, and then he'd come back into my life. Well, that happened over 40-odd times. And very recently, I was thinking about him because we eventually split up, and I thought, I wonder if he's had any children. And it was only just a casual thought. And then, I've written about this in my book, actually. I went up to a Yes Group meeting, and I saw Randy Gage. Do you know Randy Gage?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was giving this fantastic talk. Anyway, I left there all excited and went to Liverpool Street Station, which is my main line, and hopped on a train. I sat down, this was about 11 o'clock at night, put my handbag and all my bits onto the side, and I looked up, and who's there? Graham.
Wow.
Guy, too, I was wondering, just only over the last few weeks, whether he'd had children. Well, we both laughed, and he came and sat down, and we chatted, and unfortunately he hasn't had children. Well, it's a shame, really, but... And then he said to me, well, what have you been doing since we last... I said, well, I've written a book, and you're in it. I could often, I give talks, and I tell about some of our synchronicity stories. And then he unfortunately had to get off the train, so he never really knew what I'd written about. So, I don't know.
Well, that's got to be the opening chapter in the book, surely.
Yeah. When he turned up on that train at 11 o'clock at night, I mean, it was just phenomenal. But it also proves to me the thoughts you put out to the universe come back to you.
Mm. It strikes me as a member of your soul kind of keeping an eye on you.
Sorry, say that again. I didn't quite hear that one.
I think he sounds like, to me, it sounds like he's a member of your soul group keeping an eye on you.
Yep. Oh, yes. I do actually know we've been together in many lifetimes.
There you go.
Yeah. Because you don't bump into somebody that often. And I could tell you a few more because I bumped into him quite recently again. So I don't know.
It sounds like I think this relationship needs a book of its own, to be honest with you. It sounds like it's got legs.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't want children, Tom. I've got my own grandchildren and my own children.
Indeed.
So we'll see. But I love telling stories like that.
Well, listen, we're coming to the end of the show, so it's been fantastic to talk to you. Now, always great to catch up, and it's probably about the third or fourth time we've spoken at any length, really, isn't it? I know we've only met them once, haven't we? That time that I came up to do that talk.
No, I originally came over to near where you live the first time.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah, so twice.
Yeah,
we
had sandwich.
Yes, I remember that.
We just took it from there.
That's it. Yes, that's right. We had a meeting halfway, didn't we, just to check that we weren't, that as someone said before, someone from Mars and someone else from Venus. We had a meeting there, worked
that's
out
right.
that we were coming from the same page, and it all went from there, didn't it? That's right.
Yes.
I do remember that now. Fantastic. So listen, would you come on the show again when you've got the next book out? And
I'd love to. Just
bear in mind that Carl, who can't be with us tonight, is always looking for good... show host with other people to talk to as well. There's an open invitation to come on board and to run your own show on Barefoot Broadcast, and we've passed that out to anybody that's out there that wants to come and chat and to, as Carl says, to connect between that 18 inches between the head and heart. That's what it's all about.
Oh, now that's an offer I may not be able to refuse.
I think so, yeah. I think between you and Pauline, I think we've got at least two new show hosts tonight.
Sounds like a fantastic idea.
Well, it's connected to my next venture, but I'm not going to say any more at the moment.
Well, there you go. And yet another serendipity.
Exactly. I love it.
Well, it's been great to talk to you. Really good. Thanks for everyone listening tonight. I don't know whether... I think Carl's back next week. Is that right, Jackie?
As far as I'm aware, yep. So I shall hand over the reins, and I'll be back on Wednesday evening with the Blether Report. So.
Oh, wow, that sounds great. What time is that, Jackie?
It's 8 o'clock our time, so 8 till 9, just the same time as this show. Look, you've just been doing, so that's great. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
It's been
stuff,
absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much for asking me. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, you've been a fascinating guest to listen to. Thank you.